How about all those young people this morning? Great job. And Joyce. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you all so much. Yes. Wait a minute. Look at Joseph here. Oh, even Joseph has passed you. That's the young people's first benchmark. At MCC, I got to be taller than Joyce. Well, listen, thank you for sharing this last Sunday of 2018 with us here at MCC. It's been a great year, and we're looking forward to sharing 2019 with you. Andy Stanley, not Charles Stanley, Andy Stanley said, "We know that in driving, the direction you are going determines the destination you arrive at." Now, I know that's not proper grammar, but it's a quote, okay? But it makes sense. It is no secret, I am directionally challenged. I can get lost in a bathroom if it has two doors. I say to my embarrassment, not too long ago, I was going to Monticello. Now, how many of you know where Monticello is? Yeah. So, of course, I took I-74. Over to I-57 and went south. Now, hold on. That's a long way around, but you can get there. If you take I-72 off of I-57. I didn't. I just took I-57 south. So, somewhere past Tolono, seeing signs heading toward Mattoon, I realized I wasn't going to Monticello at all. The direction you are going determines the destination you arrive at. Now, if that's true when we're driving a car or take a walk or riding a bike, it's certainly true in how we live our lives. And when it comes to life, many people are directionally challenged. In other words, they have no direction in their lives. They often end up in painful relationships and situations because they have no idea where they're at, where they're going, and they don't have any plan to get anywhere in particular in their lives. They have no specific destination for life. And one day they'll end up someplace they're going to regret. The fact is, we're all headed somewhere. Don't live your life aimlessly. The question is, do you have a direction in mind? Do you have a destination? And do you know what it takes to get there? The good news is, God has already planned the direction your life should take. And it's a good plan too. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has planned out a direction He knows you will appreciate, a direction you will enjoy, and a plan you really need. So if you want the best destination for your life, you should build that destination around God's plan for your life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Beginning at verse 15, Paul gives us a rather strong word of caution. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, how does that work? Well, more good news. The Bible gives some pretty clear instructions on how to live wisely. Hold your place there in Ephesians 5, but turn with me to Romans chapter 12. It's a bit of a long list, so you need to highlight that reference on your outline. Mark it in your Bible for daily reference. This is a list of things that we are to do and what we are to be, as well as some things we're not to do and not to be. Look with me at Romans 12, beginning at verse number 9. Love must be sincere. That's a must. MCC, I hope you know I mean it when I say to you repeatedly, I love you. This is the greatest church family in the world. I love you guys. But along with that, he says, hate what is evil. You know what that says today? Stop being so darn tolerant of everything. Some things are wrong. Hate what is evil. Hate's a pretty strong word. But hate it if it's evil. Cling to what is good. I love that word cling. If you've been here before, you may have heard me use this illustration. But there is no better illustration, I think, of the word cling than how many of you have ever held a very young baby, just barely able to hold their own head up? You held a baby like that? And have them grab your hair. Until that baby decides to let go of that hair, whose is it? Yeah, if that baby wants to pull, you're going to move with it. Men, it's even worse for us if you're not wearing a shirt and that baby grabs that hair on your chest. Oh, few things hurt more. But until that baby lets go, what? That's that baby's hair. Sometimes she takes a little with her. That's the word cling. That's how tightly we're to hold on to what is good. Cling to it. Because listen, good is slipping away more and more every day. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor or enthusiasm serving the Lord. Now, if you're using this for a little checklist to help you get started on your journey of following God's plan for your life, and you're part of this family, you can check that one. You guys do that great. Be joyful in hope. There's always hope. Be patient in affliction. Anybody here not suffered in some form or fashion in 2018? Anybody? Some have more severely than others. We would put on a scale. But be patient in affliction. We've all suffered. Be faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Then it gets harder. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the sight of everybody. If, and this is one of the few ifs in the Bible, but if it's possible. Now, what does that say if it says if it's possible? Yeah, I mean, sometimes it might not be. But if it's possible, and as far as it depends on you, see, sometimes you aren't in control of the situation, but as far as your part in it, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, there you have it. A good start. You mark that in your Bible and refer to it maybe at least once a week, if not each day, and say, how am I doing on this list? These are God's instructions for Christians as we live in a sin-cursed world. These things are to be lived out, not spoken about, lived out with the help of the Holy Spirit in spiritual passion. The world should see an enthusiasm in our lives as we live for the Lord. This kind of lifestyle, this kind of worldview begins with a sense of honesty and dissatisfaction. Honesty in the sense that they're admitting the direction I'm heading is not leading me where I want to go. And dissatisfaction is that even when I get on the right road and I'm following God's path, I can say, God has led me this far, but He ain't through with me yet. I'm not going to be satisfied here. I want to grow deeper. I want to grow closer. I want to be more like Jesus than I am today. Here are some steps you can take in this new year to help become a new you. First of all, realize our time on earth is limited. That simply means you cannot keep putting things off until tomorrow. Someone wisely said, if you keep putting things off till tomorrow, one day you'll wake up and all you have is a lot of empty yesterdays. Our time is limited. You can't keep putting things off until tomorrow or keep waiting till someday. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The New Century Version says, teach us how short our lives really are so we may be wise. Each day is so valuable because time is so limited. Second, make the most of every opportunity. In our passage in Ephesians 5, Paul told us, be careful then, very careful, how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Verse 16 says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Over the holidays, I hope all of you had a great Christmas season. Everybody have a great Christmas season. And if you did, and I'm sorry for whatever caused it to not be so great, and hope that it gets better from here on out. But we had a really good Christmas season this year, and during that time, a lot of our family was here. And so we did something we don't normally do. We went to see a movie at the theater. I usually get to see movies after everybody has spoiled it for me, because they saw it at the theater. But we went to the theater while the family was here. I had heard so much about this movie. I was excited. I was really excited to see it. And after it was over, my brother-in-law asked me, well, what'd you think about that? And I said, well, that's an hour and a half of my life I can't get back. As I unload the junior high transfers on the school bus each morning, I try to give them some words of wisdom, some encouragement, and some life lessons. I tell them things like, be kind to one another today. You're going to need your friends tomorrow. Sometimes I'll say something like, be kind and say something nice to your teachers today. It'll shock them. Or things like, respect yourself today and always. But my favorite challenge I leave with them the most is this. Make the most of today. You can't get it back. You may be familiar with the time Jesus went to the house of His friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He sat down in the living room, as it were, to teach. Mary was there sitting at His feet, soaking in every word. And meanwhile, Martha was out in the kitchen preparing dinner. is found in Luke chapter 10. Martha gets upset because Mary's not helping her in the kitchen, so she complains to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" Any of you have anybody in the family like that? "Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha." Jesus answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, was Martha committing a sin by fixing a meal in the kitchen? No, of course not. But her problem was she got so preoccupied with what she was doing, she kind of lost touch with the realization Jesus was in her living room. And that's the same mistake you and I make a lot, isn't it? We get so caught up in the here and now. We get so preoccupied with the urgent. We get so overwhelmed with all the irons we have in the fire. And we fail to see the opportunities to just be with Jesus. Dr. Richard Swenson received his MD from the University of Illinois School of Medicine. He's now a world-renowned physician and researcher, as well as a best-selling author. He has written extensively on the trends in modern society, including the acceleration of stress, overload, change, complexity, and speed. Six of his books contain hundreds of practical prescriptions for decompressing with the increasing pressures of life. One such book he calls The Overload Syndrome. In it, he says, people are just plain overloaded. You feel overloaded sometimes? He's right. We're overloaded with commitments. We've committed ourselves to go here and to go there, to take part in this activity and that social function, and even church activities. As a result, and by our own admission, we're meeting ourselves coming and going. We've overloaded ourselves in the area of commitments. And we've overloaded ourselves with possessions. Our closets are full, our garages are overflowing. We've rented storage buildings and we've built storage sheds in our backyards just to hold all our stuff. Stuff we've gone into debt to pay for and then try to get rid of in a garage sale. We're overloaded in the area of possessions. We have an overload in the area of work. We get up early, we fight traffic, we stay late, and work overtime. Many experience intolerable working conditions and cannot wait for 5 o'clock to roll around. And we have an information overload. The internet, with its superhighway of speed and information, has inundated us with more information than we can possibly absorb. With all the social media, we are now linked together, Facebook together, FaceTime together. We tweet, we chat, we Snapchat, we email, and we message. And we're so overloaded now, we can't seem to keep our balance when we're walking without a phone in our hands. We could go on and on, but you get the picture. There are so many demands on our time, including many good things that need to be done. But there are less than 36 hours left in 2018. And if the Lord tarries, we'll only have 8,760 hours in 2019. We need to make the most of every opportunity. And then thirdly, we need to understand what the Lord's will is. Paul continued his caution with these words, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." What do you think God's will is for you in 2019? Do you have any idea? Let me offer you a few suggestions to consider as you begin to answer that question. First of all, establish your priorities. I'm assuming since you're in church this morning, you believe God should be a part of your life. But when you begin to establish your priorities, you have to decide just where He stands in your list of priorities. So ask yourself, who or what is most important in my life? I'm hoping your answer will be, my relationship with God through Jesus Christ is most important to me. If so, then put that at the top of your list of priorities and say that this will affect my decisions, this will affect my scheduling, this will affect my relationship with my family and others, this will affect my whole outlook on life. God is at the top. So priority number one, schedule some definite time each day for God. Take time to talk to Him. That's prayer. Take time to listen to Him. Let's get into His Word. Pray for yourself and for your family and for the people around you. Pray for the church. Yes, MCC, but also the church around the world. Pray for the missionaries serving in so many places. Sometimes they feel so alone and so far away. Second, you must also spend some time with your family. We say it a lot around here. Every husband ought to have a date night with his wife. Now, I'm serious about that. It's a time when just the two of you can get away with nothing to interfere. Maybe a nice restaurant or a picnic at the Lake of the Woods. Maybe a movie at home from Redbox with some popcorn that you bought from the Boy Scouts here at church. Buying and selling in the temple as we do. But wherever it is, spend some time together. And spend time with your children too. They're growing up so fast. These are precious moments. Don't let them slip away. Make sure your family is very high on your list of priorities. And third, of course, most of us have to work, and I think Christians ought to be good workers. We ought to be the best workers. When someone hires a Christian, they ought to know they're going to get someone who is dependable, someone that will give them an honest day's work, someone who will work without grumbling. Be the labor, great or small, do it well, or not at all. So first, establish your priorities. And then, learn how to live today. That goes back to that quit putting things off to tomorrow. This is the time you have. It's called the present. The present. That's all you get. It's a gift. The past is gone. Can't change it. The future is not guaranteed. Learn how to live today. The two greatest enemies of time are regret and anxiety. Regrets for the things we did in the past and anxiety about what will happen to us in the future. Many people spend far too much time living either in the past or in the future. Someone said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. True, isn't it? Another year has come and gone. A new year stretches before us. We need to live each day as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Paul records for us in his letter to the Philippians the way he found to do that, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. I press on. Now, there's at least one last thing I want to mention as we look at a new year and a new you. And that's this. What if I've made bad decisions? What if the direction I've been going has led me the wrong way for too long? What if I have not included God in any of my plans? What if I have turned my back on the way I was raised to believe? What if I have messed things up so badly I can't seem to find any way of fixing them? Well, long, long ago, to His rebellious people who had strayed, to His sinful people who had left the teachings of their fathers, God said, and He says to you and me this morning, this: I have made you. You are my servant. I will not forget you. I don't care if you forget me, I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains and you forests and all your trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays His glory in Israel. God is the God of beginning again. God is the God of do-overs. The God of second chances. He takes our failures and faults and removes them, replaces them with a new, clean slate. I am making everything new. That's what He says to you and me today. And then God takes that clean slate and He starts you on the road to a heavenly destination. Peter instructed us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll get a gift from God, His Holy Spirit. And He will help guide you in staying in the plan that God has made for your life. We have all sinned, but we can return to Him. That's repentance. That's seeing the direction we're going and saying, you know, if I keep on this path, it's not going to get me where I want to go. If I stay on I-57 South, I am never going to get to Monticello. I mean, I don't care if the world is round. You're not going to get to Monticello if you stay on I-57 South. I need to do an about face. Come back and get on the right path. That's repentance. And when we do, we can be baptized into His name. And He says, I have forgiven you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. We can be baptized in His name and wash our sins away. We have a new year. You can have a new you. I would ask you to consider as we close, if the new year could actually speak, I think it would say something like this. Here I am, the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I'm your next chance at the art of living. I'm your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, "Behold, I make all things new." A new year is just around the corner. A new you can be too. Remember, and here's your takeaway, the direction you're going determines the destination you arrive at. But the direction you take is your choice. We invite you to choose today to follow that plan God has for you, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you hope in a future. But the choice is yours. Father God, we thank you this morning that we have had a great year together in so many ways, and in many ways too, our lives have been touched in ways that we hopefully have grown through, but they've been tough. Some have been sad, some have, well, you know the whole gamut that we've run. But we're here this morning at the door of a new year. And more than a new year, Father, we're on the doorsteps of a new you, a new us. Each one of us can make that choice today to make the year not only new, but to make our lives new. And that newness can be found in Jesus Christ. We pray that each of us will follow Him if we have accepted Him, and that we will accept Him if we have not. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.